Golf Smarter, number 566, published on November 15, 2016. You show me an actor that's a good golfer, and I'll show you an actor that doesn't work with actor Malcolm McDowell.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights to lower your score and raise your golf IQ. To hear the full interview and access hundreds of Golf Smarter episodes, sign up for premium access at golfsmarter.libsyn.com. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Malcolm.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
You love playing golf.
It's a great passion of mine. I'm an addictive personality, I think they call it. Is it a personality or something? But I started very late in life. I thought it was, you know, an old man's game. I refused to play with my friends. And they said, come on, play golf. Absolutely not. I'm a tennis player. Anyway, I did my knee in, as it were, and I came out with some friends about 6 years ago, and they go. I said, "I'll just drive the thing. I'm not going to play." But anyway, I hit one ball in the air, and I was hooked. And then I started to get instruction. I may as well learn the right way to play.
And you did a golf movie. Was that when you just started playing, or had you already been hooked at that point, or where did that fall in line?
Strangely enough, I did a golf movie about Bobby Jones called Stroke of Genius, and it was a wonderful experience. You know, I did actually have a golf scene where I was hitting golf balls as Mr. Rock in Fantasy Island. And we were in Hawaii, and we were hitting, it was a par three, big downhill to a sort of a bowl of a green. And I remember saying, oh, just give me the club. And I, you know, got it on the green pretty much every time. Now, they CGI'd it, you know, they made the ball go 50 million miles, you know, and because it was supposed to be magic. And I went, well, it's not that difficult, this game, is it? Of course, I was playing. I was very relaxed because I was acting a part. And we all know golf is a very psychological, torturous game. And we never know who is going to show up at the course in any one given day. So, and things that you get very excited about learning and you think, thank God, this is a huge breakthrough. You come back the next day and it's gone. You can't find it. It's so elusive. It's a great life lesson, is that you never take anything for granted, ever. And as soon as you start to get a little cocky about, hey, you know, I can move the ball at will, you'll double cross it and it'll go out of bounds. The next shot, swear to God, we all know that.
Absolutely. And do you love that elusiveness about this game? Do you love that challenge, or is it so frustrating at times you just say, I'm done. I can't do this anymore to myself?
No, I love it because pretty much everything in my life I control, sort of. My wife wouldn't agree with that, but you'll never control anything on a golf course. And the more pissed you get, the worse you play, of course. So if you get angry with it and start throwing clubs, then you're dead.
Right.
But I'm not the kind of person that will walk away from it. I mean, I remember years ago, I was doing a film with Blake Edwards, who's a brilliant director. You know, he did all the Pink Panthers with Peter Sellers. And I said to him, you know, we were talking in between setups, and I said, I'm thinking of buying some golf clubs. I may, you know, take it. He went, Malcolm, don't. He went, you're not the kind of person that can play golf. And he goes, and I'll tell you this, neither am I. He said, I took my clubs and I chucked them in the Pacific Ocean. I mean, you're not serious. He said, oh, yes, I am. And that was Blake Edwards, for God's sake.
And did you take that as a challenge, or do you heed his advice at that point? And when did you start playing from that?
No, I stayed with tennis for a while longer. But, you know, I was in my late 50s when I took it up. So you can do it. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are. That's the other brilliant thing about golf. And what other game is there where you can hit one shot in a round as good as the best player on the planet? You can't do it in any other sport. In any other game, it's not possible. But you can. I can hit a ball 200 yards and get it within 3 feet of the flag once in a lifetime. You know, I've had a hole in one. I mean, you know, it's such a great thing for you know, beginners or intermediate players. There's always something to get excited about and to have fun about. And, you know, and that's important. It gives you a lot back.
And you were saying that not only can you have a shot, you can have that, but you can do it on the same venue that they do it. You know, you can play. It's not like you can go play softball at Fenway Park, you know, or you can play soccer at Wembley Stadium. You got to go out and play in the street or something. But for golf, you can play on the best courses and have that great shot and feel like a king for a moment because the rest of the round, of course.
That's absolutely true. I think the two most magical I've had three magical sort of rounds of golf where I didn't play particularly well. I don't remember how I played, but I do remember the old course of St. Andrews, and I remember going out late. But, you know, it stays very late in the summer in Scotland, because so far north. And we came in around 10 o'clock in the evening, crossed the bridge, the whole deal, all the photographs, the whole thing. It was actually pitch dark when we teed up on the 18th tee. We thought, well, we're going to finish this round. And we hit off, you know, and the groundskeeper, a guy called Gordon, he went, "Hey, Malcolm, were you playing last night? Because in this morning, I noticed there were four balls on the fairway." I said, "We made it to the fairway." Couldn't even find the balls, you know. It was great. I must admit, I did go into the clubhouse of the Royal and Ancient and to use the loo. And I did steal a comb, I have to say. I will admit to that, but I'm sure there are thousands of combs missing every year. But that was a great thrill. And also, you know, the whole thing in Scotland and golf is it's a different thing. You know, it's a way of life. And when they heard that I was doing a film about Bobby Jones, who's an American from Atlanta, you know, who's great years were in the 20s. They honestly genuflect, and they remember, and they know the great stories of Bobby Jones and what a great, great sportsman and what a great man he was. And what an ambassador for golf, you know. So that was, it was absolutely beautiful to see. You know, it's like Jack Nicklaus, they put him on a £5 note in Scotland because he's a true hero to them, you know. And of course the man is a gentleman and he plays the game. See, that's the other thing, is the traditions of the game are so beautiful, and it's the history of the game that we should all who play the game should really take note of. And this game, more than any other, I think, people really do understand and know the history of it. They know about old Tom Morris. They know about, you know, his son and the tragedy there. And they know about, Varden and the grip and the change of equipment. And then, of course, the Americans came in, and Bobby and the, you know, and all those guys, Sarazen and Walter Hagen. For God's sake, we're talking truly the greats of the game. And you know, when I first saw Lou Hoad, you know, win Wimbledon, but a tennis player's career is 5 years, 10 at the best. I mean, 5 years at the top, number one if you're lucky. A golfer, of course, they can stretch it. I think Jack Nicklaus was 46 when he won his last Masters, you know, which was amazing. I think 46, I mean, that's, well, he is a phenomenon too. I mean, you know, how often do you get guys like that? Very rare. They're rare, and we are blessed that we are watching. Well, I've been able to watch Nicklaus, and you know, in his prime. And of course, there's a few other great ones too. And and also the women, fantastic. Absolutely. You know, I always used to love watching women's tennis because I could see it. You know, it was like watching men in slow motion. I'd probably get killed for that. But it's a bit the same with the golf swing. you can see every part of it because it's much slower club head speed. You know, I don't care what you say. They just don't have the strength to get that club head speed that these guys get. You know, some of these guys, they hit the ball 300, 400 yards, you know. And I think there's a great lesson. It's great for players like myself to watch women play because you really do see the transfer of weight and you see, you know, the hands come through. You can see it more easily, that's all.
When you got a chance to work on the Bobby Jones movie, Stroke of Genius, what did that do for your appreciation of the game? Or did it enhance it, or it was just another job that you were doing?
No, it brought me in touch with the roots of the game and the traditions. And, you know, I got to really know a lot, of course, about Bobby Jones, which I wouldn't have known particularly. And I read Mark Frost's books. Now, everyone should read, who's interested in golf and loves golf, should go out and get every damn thing ever written by Mark Frost. I have only met him once, but he wrote a brilliant biography on Bobby Jones. He also wrote the Greatest Game Ever Played, which they made into a movie. A friend of mine, Bill Paxton, directed it. And it's a wonderful book. It's such... creates the whole period, the era, beside the fact that obviously he loves golf and he's a damn good golfer, but he really gets you going about golf and, about Harry of Arden and about how he had tuberculosis and he was in a sanatorium and all this kind of stuff, which you would never have known. And that's why he had the yips, you know, and stuff like this, the really intimate, small little things. You know, I honestly feel as connected to these people because of this game as I do to this new generation of golfers. And also, you know, the fact that Bobby Jones could hit a ball with a hickory shaft 280. 280. He was 40 yards further than the next competitor. And don't forget, he only played golf in the summer. He was a lawyer, and he had all these other careers, and he only played in the holidays. I mean, and he won the Grand Slam. So.
And have you ever played wearing a tie?
No, but you know, I'm plus four is pretty nice. You need them in Scotland; quite chilly. I'm a bit of a fair weather golfer, I'm afraid, really. I don't find much fun in playing in driving horizontal rain as I did the beautiful course called King's Barnes, one of the absolute most beautiful courses in Scotland. It's a new one, designed by a couple of American, Californians, actually, and it's a fantastic course. They got the best of the old and the best of the new. And it's one of the most spectacular courses I've ever played, including Pebble. And just amazing. You know, also, what's amazing is you begin to learn about, you know, certain architects. And, you know, you find what architects you really like the most and what are most sympathetic. I hate people that shove earth around. I think the most beautiful courses to me are the ones that... they pretty much leave it as natural as possible. And, they're my favorite courses, actually. I don't particularly like the ones that are being gouged out. You know, you see these Trump courses that have been, they move so much earth and all that. That to me is, that's sort of Disneyland golf. It's synthetic to me. I love, you know, these courses in Ireland. Of course, they've managed them. They've moved certain things here and there. But, you know, basically it's as the land lies. And I think they're the most extraordinary architects to me. Mackenzie is a good point. You know, Mackenzie's courses are extraordinary. I had the great fortune to play Cypress Point, and I was playing them. The person that was I was the guest of was a lady, and she said to me, "Malcolm, how many bunkers do you see coming up to this green?" And I went, "Oh my God, I think I counted 18 or something, bunkers. And when we got on the green, she said, now look back. How many bunkers do you see? I couldn't see one. Now that's a great architect. Yeah.
So clearly you use the architecture in a golf course when you're playing for your strategy. I mean, you're obviously studying this. How do you use your knowledge of golf architecture and your appreciation of it in the strategy of your round of golf?
I mean, I'd like to say that I do that. The truth is, I tee the ball up and I try to hit the crap out of it. I try and hit the damn thing as hard as I can. I mean, I'm saying that I, you know, when I'm out there playing, I just love to see. I played a little McKenzie course up in Napa Valley. And honestly, it's nine holes. And it's right in the redwoods. And it's one of the jewels I've ever played. It's a jewel because he used just what's there. The redwoods are there. And, and I hear that abandoned dunes up in Oregon is stunning. And courses like that, you know. I just prefer those. I mean, one of my favorites is Fazio. We talked about that. But those courses are absolutely extraordinary. I played this course called White Columns and in Atlanta. It was just the most magical. Of course, it also depends on, you know, what kind of a time you're having. I was there in the magic hour time. Sort of in the evening, you know, it was sort of the most perfect time. There was nobody there. This friend of mine who I adore called Tim Ware, he's from Florida. He was in the movie with me, and we just had the greatest time. There was just the two of us, nobody else. And sometimes that, you know, that can be the most satisfying and the most fun of all.
I don't know if you remember the line that Alan King had, I think, in the movie Garden State. It opens up, he's standing on the tee box, and there's a long, slow pan across the fairway, and he looks out and he says, a golf course, nature on a leash.
Yeah.
That was such a beautiful line.
That's a great line, yeah.
So, did you allude to the fact that you've hit a hole-in-one?
I have. And in fact, I hit it with a rescue, a Sonotec. I think it was 21 degrees, and it was about 205 yards. On the most difficult par 3 on this course, the 16. And actually, that club has now hit 2, because the person that owned it before, Joe Parent, Dr. Joseph, had the club, and I went, oh, I rather like this. He said, well, you can have it, because I'm now using this other club. So I went, oh, thanks very much. And so I was hitting with it, and he'd had a hole-in-one, and then I did the same thing. And, you know, it's one of those extraordinary things. But this is the weird thing about my hole-in-one is there's a gentleman here that I used to play with when I first started, who was very sweet to me and used to take me around and say, oh, don't hit a driver, hit a 5-iron. You just have to get it over the... Oh, I didn't really, you know, this course management, and he was helping me. Unfortunately, he got Alzheimer's, and so I try to take him out if I can once or twice, you know, and try to take him out every week or whatever. And so he was actually my partner. And we come to the 16th hole, and every time we've played the 16th hole, he says to me, I got a hole in one here. I was playing with my son. And I go, yes, Phil, I know about that. You told me about that. He goes, oh, I hit him. And he tells me exactly the shot, and he tells me every time. He forgets that he's, you know. And so, anyway, this time we get up to the 16th. He says the same thing. Hey, I got a hole-in-one. I went, oh, great. Yeah, I know. Your son, you were playing with your son, right? That's right. I was playing with my son. Anyway, I hit off. Now, the pin was, the position was just beyond the a trap, and you couldn't actually, you could see the flag, but you couldn't see the actual hole. And so I hit the ball true as come, you know, 5-yard draw. It was a beautiful, beautiful shot, and I was so happy, because if you hit it a little right, you're out of bounds over the road, you're left, you're down the damn barranca. It's one of the hardest things, and I was really thrilled with this shot. And Phil hits his ball, and he hits a pretty good ball, and he's in the bunker. And so we get on the green, and I'm looking for my ball, and I can't find it. And I thought, I thought it made the bunker, you know. I said, Phil, did you see my ball? And he looked at me bewildered. He went, no. And I looked round to the pin, and about 18 inches, you know, from the flag, I saw a divot. And I thought, oh, my God, don't tell me. I can't be. And I went over and peered down, and there was my ball. And, of course, I let out this yell. I said, Phil, get over here. Look at this. Look at this. And he came up from the bunker. He looked, and he went, oh, yeah, I got a hole-in-one. I went, no, Phil, no. This is my hole-in-one. He goes, oh, that's jolly good. He got jolly good. So anyway, I was leaping about and screaming and shouting, you know. We finished the round. Of course, the next hole, by the way, I got a double bogey, of course. And we get back to the clubhouse. I tell the pro, and I said, and Phil Burton, you know, he was my witness. I go, Phil, and he goes, what? I went, 16. And he goes, oh, I got a hole in one there. I said, no, not yours. We're talking about mine now. He goes, did you? Oh, well done.
So, no proof. It's just well, his word against whatever word he's got.
Luckily, the head pro, Jared, who's a lovely guy here at the Ojai Valley Inn, he heard me screaming and shouting and knew something was going on. So he gave me the flag anyway. He said, I knew you'd got it, so.
That's my greatest fear is I don't get to see it go in. And it's over. It's done. It's like, I mean, when you hit it, you knew it felt great. You knew it had all the potential in the world, but you didn't see it go in the hole.
It happened to me on the 10th hole here. I missed my drive, and I was 220 out. And I took my 3-wood and ripped the most beautiful cut shot. And I thought, that was good. That's what I should have done before. And, of course, I get up there, and we're looking for the ball. And, of course, it's in the hole, an eagle, and I didn't see that either. But there's still, it's still quite, you know, thrilling. I mean, I'll take it.
Exactly. It goes on the scorecard.
Yeah.
As a golfer, not as someone who plays a golfer in the movies, but as a golfer, what is the best piece of advice you ever received?
I think, honestly, you're in Dr. Joseph Parent's sort of realm here when you're talking about great advice, because, you know, he told me when I was putting, chunking around, and I left my putting, by the way, to last, to really get into. I wanted to get the stroke and look good, you know. I wanted to get the weight transference, you know, the high hands at the end, and kind of look good before I even bothered with the putting. And I was playing with him, and he went, you know, your ball is way too far. Bring it into your shoes 6 inches. And as soon as I did that, I suddenly started to putt quite well. I mean, it's, you know, I wouldn't say I'm a good putter now, but I'm certainly a lot better than I was and much more consistent. Although, you know, occasionally I do get the yips. But that's all mental, isn't it?
It sure is. And have you ever met a golfer, if you ask him, oh, do you play golf? Yeah, I play golf. Are you any good? Meh. Have you ever met anyone who goes, oh, yeah, I'm really a good golfer?
No, even a sort of scratch player will go, I have my days, but, you know.
Exactly. I know.
Because you know if you say, yeah, I'm actually pretty good, you are dead. You are dead in the water. Yeah, I mean.
I've always told my kids, 3 things in life you don't mess with and you don't take for granted: fire, the ocean, and golf. Because as soon as you think you have control on any of those, they're going to bite you.
Absolutely. It's true. I mean, it's very elusive. But when it's happening, there is really no feeling in the world. And I'd say that, being an actor who's won awards in the past and all the rest of it, it pales in comparison. I mean, that's just boring compared to hitting a glorious shot where, you know, if I just cut this 3-wood, I'll aim at the bunker on the left, I'll cut it in, it'll land like a feather and just trickle to the hole, and it actually happens, you know. Or you'll go, you know, and I can draw this one in, And of course, you forget the times, or you don't forget, but you choose not to remember the times that you aim right and it goes even further right. Or you decide to cut it, and you're aiming at a barranca, and of course, you double-cross it, and it's such a mess, and it happens so often. But when you pull it off, when there's no tension in the body at all, and you just let it flow, it's great. I mean, there's nothing like it.
Nothing like it. And what's next?
I'm busy. I keep busy.
With golf and movies.
Yes, my line is always this. Show me an actor who's a good golfer, and I'm looking at an actor that doesn't work. And that the truth is, because you need to be out every other day, don't you, to be a good golfer? You need to be there at least three times a week. But it's great. Being actors make good golfers, and so do musicians, because musicians are always, when they're on tour, they get there, they go out and play golf, and they sing or play at night. And it's a perfect thing for them to do. And usually musicians make terrific golfers because they play a lot of golf.
Alice Cooper, who it helped him beat his alcohol and drug addiction.
Yeah. Well, Alice is a wonderful golfer and a nice guy. I played in this tournament in Scottsdale. He's got this tournament that benefits the kids and all that. And he's a fabulous guy and he's a terrific golfer. I mean, he really is. So, yeah. He must be. Well, I think he was scratch, but he may be three or four now. I don't know. But he's a good golfer.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the time. It was fascinating and loved your insight to all this. Thanks.
Pleasure. Thanks.
Well, he had a great idea. Well, he didn't have the idea. I had the idea. And I'm going to share it with you now. He mentioned that one of the greatest golf books ever written was The Match by Mark Frost. And I agree with him wholeheartedly. And since the gift-giving season is almost upon us, and giving a golfer may be the most difficult present ever, well, other than golf balls, because what could the well-equipped golfer need that he or she doesn't already have or plan on getting? So I agree. The match was the most entertaining and unbelievably true story never told. And this is a book that I've been recommending for years. So here's what I'd like to do. Mark Frost was on the podcast, but that was in January of 2008. That was a long time ago, and I've been doing this for a long time. I just said, tell me the story of this book. I love this book. And he has the most incredible voice, and being a sound person like that, I was just enamored with the whole thing. So I just might replay that episode as our Thanksgiving piece. And I think I might do that next week. I really think you're going to enjoy it. So yeah, I think I'm going to do that. Oh, I just want to remind you that back episode 561, five weeks, we spoke to John Ambrose, the inventor / creator of the L2 Technologies putter, the one with a 3.5-inch sweet spot on the face, so it's really, really hard to miss hit this with this putter. I've been hearing from many Golf Smarter listeners and from John himself that he's sold a number of his new putters to the Golf Smarter community. So again, with the holidays in mind, I just wanted to remind you that there are two videos with John on our Golf Smarter TV channel, which is YouTube. Just go Golf Smarter TV, all one word. First is the complete interview, if you want to see John as we have this conversation, the whole interview without edits. And the second is from the day that I met John back in May and learned all about his new radical design. And so you can see it in action. You can see people taking swings with it. And that one's only about 5 minutes long. And I just wanted to remind you, use the checkout code GOLFSMARTER at l2putters.com, the letter L, the number 2, Putters, P-U-T-T-E-R-S, L2putters.com, and the putter is only $169 for the L2 MOI Max putter, but you can get $15 off if you just use the coupon code or the checkout code GOLFSMARTER. So just wanted to remind you that. Don't forget to download the free Golf Smarter app for iOS or Android, and that way you'll get each new episode downloaded to your phone or your tablet automatically. You can also follow us on Twitter at Golf Smarter or join the conversation on our Golf Smarter Facebook page. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, like the one I received this week, someone said, oh, I really enjoyed the conversation with Solomon. Mark Solomon, and here's a guy I'd like you to get on. So I'm not going to tell you who it is yet because I want to make sure we can get him first. Anyway, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.